From the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, December 14th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
the Fed makes its final policy decision of the year with a 50 basis point hike expected.
UK inflation dips from a 41-year high ahead of tomorrow's Bank of England decision.
FTX co-founder Sam Bankman-Fried plans to fight extradition to the U.S.
And the U.S. plans to add more than 30 Chinese companies to its trade blacklist.
I'm Amy Morris. A three-alarm fire at a police evidence warehouse may burn for days. And flags are at half-staff, remembering Sandy Hook 10 years ago.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Another big baseball free agent signing. The Islanders and Devils both lost. The World Cup semifinals end today.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, SiriusXM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are little change this morning. 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets all day long here on Bloomberg Radio. S&P futures, little change, so are Dow futures. NASDAQ futures moving lower now, down about a tenth of a percent or 17 points. The DAX in Germany is down 0.75%. The 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 3.49%, and the yield on the 2-year 4.18%. Nathan.
Karen, a big week for critical economic events continues today with the Federal Reserve's final policy decision of the year. Let's get our coverage started with a preview from Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee.
Fed officials are going to raise the nation's benchmark lending rate by half a percentage point today. The question is, what will they do next? After two consecutive soft CPI reports, investors are lowering their bets on how high the Fed goes and for how long. That puts the focus on policymakers' new economic and interest rate forecasts and the so-called dot plot that shows where they think rates will need to be at the end of next year. In September, the median dot was at 4.6%. Markets now see them at 4.3% after rate cuts beginning in July. Investors will also focus on how Chair Jay Powell sees the data and the outlook. Will he again warn against overconfidence on Wall Street? Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mike, thank you. Well, after today, the Fed's next steps depend on the path of economic data. So says influential economist and Stanford University professor John Taylor.
If it's 50 basis points at this decision, then don't lead on as 25 or 75 or another 50. It depends. You know, the idea of monetary policy is it depends on what's happening to inflation, what's happening to the real economy. We hope we don't have another downturn. And we can avoid that if, in fact, the Fed says, look, if inflation picks up, we will take action.
Stanford professor John Taylor made the comments in an interview with Bloomberg's Kathleen Hayes. Stay tuned for complete coverage of today's Fed decision on a special edition of Bloomberg Surveillance. It all begins at 1:30 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Well, Karen, the Fed decision comes after a key gauge of consumer prices posted its smallest gain in more than a year, and that fueled a surge in stocks at yesterday's opening bell. The S&P 500 rose as much as 2.8% before paring those gains to close higher by 0.75%. Gargi Chowdhury is BlackRock's head of iShares Investment Strategy.
Policy is working. Everything that the Fed has been doing, as difficult as that has been for the markets, what the inflation data today shows us, that it is going in the right direction.
BlackRock's Gargi Chowdhury notes overall CPI increased 0.1% from the prior month, bringing inflation to an annual rate of 7.1%.
Well, inflation is also front and center in the UK, Nathan, with fresh data ahead of tomorrow's Bank of England decision. And we go to London and get the latest with Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Another of the world's biggest economies is seeing a softening of inflation. Consumer prices in the UK rose 10.7% in November from a year earlier. That was down from 11.1% in the previous month and lower than forecasts. The data will be studied by the Bank of England ahead of their rate decision tomorrow, but with inflation more than five times over target, no one is yet calling victory in this particular battle. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thanks. Let's turn now to the latest developments on Sam Bankman-Fried. The FTX co-founder apparently plans to fight extradition to the U.S., and Bloomberg's Steve Rappaport is live with the details. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Bringing Sam Bankman-Fried home from the Caribbean might require help from across the pond. The Bahamas is a British Commonwealth country, and final appeals on extradition are handled by London's Privy Council, a formal body of advisors to the sovereign of the U.K. While announcing the charges, federal prosecutor Damian Williams had a warning for anyone who may have helped Bankman-Fried.
I would strongly encourage you to come see us before we come see you.
And if history is an indicator, Bankman-Fried may have bought plenty of time. Eight men facing drug charges in the U.S. fought extradition from the Bahamas for more than a decade. Live in New York, I'm Steve Rappaport, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Steve, thanks. Well, another round of hearings on the FTX collapse is coming up today in the Senate. New FTX CEO John Wray testified yesterday before the House Financial Services Committee. Republican committee member Andy Barr joined us to give his takeaway on the hearing.
There was absolute concentration of control of this business and these various businesses in the hands of a very small group of, in his words, grossly inexperienced and unsophisticated individuals.
We also spoke with Democratic Committee member Brad Sherman, who says Sam Bankman-Fried's downfall points to a need for more crypto regulation.
When you're dealing with an enterprise, the whole purpose of which is to come up with a currency system that allows you to evade American financial law, then you're going to be dealing with people who are going to evade American financial law.
Congressman Brad Sherman and Andy Barr both were guests on Bloomberg Sound On with Joe Matthew. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Now let's turn to some geopolitical news this morning, Karen. We're seeing rising tensions again between the world's two economic superpowers. The Biden administration's putting China's leading maker of memory chips and more than 30 other companies on its trade blacklist. That would prevent them from buying certain American technology.
And another note on China, Nathan, Bloomberg News has learned Chinese leaders are planning to proceed with a closely watched economic policy meeting in Beijing tomorrow. The decision comes as COVID infections surge across the capital. Senior Chinese officials meet every December to plot out economic policy for the coming year. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
It's here in 607 on Wall Street, 32 degrees in Central Park. It's going to be sunny, but continued chilly today with highs only near 40 degrees, back down to the low 30s tonight. Amy Morris is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Nathan. A three-alarm fire has led to the partial collapse of a New York Police Department evidence center in Brooklyn. The fire was first reported by police department contractors working inside the auto pound. Acting Chief Jeffrey Madry says the workers saw flames that appeared to have started on one of the evidence shelves, and they called for help.
They saw the fire. They alerted the police department personnel inside. Everyone backed out. FD was alerted.
Fire officials say everything inside the facility was either lost or damaged. The fire is expected to burn for days. President Biden has signed the historic Respect for Marriage Act, cementing federal protection for same-sex and interracial marriages into law.
Who do you love? And will you be loyal to that person you love? It's not more complicated than that. The law recognizes that everyone should have the right to answer those questions for themselves without the government interference.
President Biden says the law requires interracial marriage and same-sex marriage be recognized as legal in every state. A new Wall Street Journal poll shows Florida Governor Ron DeSantis now holds an early lead over Donald Trump among GOP primary voters, 52-38% in a hypothetical contest. We told you yesterday New York is encouraging people to mask up. New Jersey won't be putting a mandate in place. Well, now we're learning Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont also says there's no need at this point for a mandate. The Hartford Current reports Lamont says he sees no immediate concerns, but that you should wear a mask if you show any symptoms, and you need to get boosted if you haven't yet. The chief epidemiologist at Hartford Healthcare, however, says you really do need to wear a mask indoors as flu and COVID cases rise. And Governor Lamont has ordered all U.S. and state flags to half staff today in remembrance of the victims of the Sandy Hook Elementary School killings. It was 10 years ago today Adam Lanza opened fire at the school, killing 20 children and 6 adults. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Amy. 6:09 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Auto. Here's John Stanshammer.
Thanks, Nathan. Another example of a baseball player who turned down a contract offer, hit free agency, and ended up making much more money. Happened with Aaron Judge, Andrew Bogaerts. Now, Carlos Correa, once the first overall pick of the Astros, Houston offered him 5 years, $160 million. A couple years ago, Correa just signed with the San Francisco Giants. 13 years, $350 million between Correa, Bogarts, and Trey Turner. Three shortstops just signed contracts worth $930 million. The Devils, who last month had that 13-game winning streak, have now lost their last three, beaten at home by Dallas 4-1. Islanders lost in Boston 4-3 in a shootout. Washington in Chicago, and a milestone goal.
The Blackhawks starting, and now the turnover in front, and Mantha feeding it to Kuznetsov, and Mrazek diving, a shot, they score! And it's Alex Ovechkin, and it's 800 goals in the National Hockey League!
JFK had the call. Two more goals, and Ovechkin passes Gordie Howe for second all-time. He's still going strong at age 37, so we'll see if he can break a record most felt was unreachable, Wayne Gretzky's league-leading 894 career goal. Celtics beat the Lakers in overtime. Utah ended New Orleans' seven-game win streak, a battle of the last two NBA champs. Milwaukee beat Golden State. Knicks play tonight in Chicago. At the World Cup today, it's defending champion France and Cinderella Morocco. The winner plays Argentina in Sunday's final. Mississippi State is going to play its bowl game, the school saying that's what Coach Mike Leach would have wanted. Leach passed away at 61. Leach was a true football innovator and a true character. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com. For more information, ahead of the market open, ahead of the Fed decision, the final policy decision of 2022, futures are moving just a touch lower now. We have S&P futures down 6 points, a decline of about a tenth percent. NASDAQ or futures are down 24 points. That's a drop of 0.2%. And the Dow futures right now down a tenth percent or 37 points. 10-year Treasury is up 2/32, yield 3.49%. Yield on the 2-year, 4.17%. Looking at the 30-year yield right now, that's at 3.54%. 6:12 on Wall Street. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, as we are now just hours away from the final policy decision from the Federal Reserve of 2022. Bloomberg economics and policy correspondent Michael McKee is in Washington, D.C. for the Fed's move on rates and the news conference, of course, from Chair Jay Powell. And Mike is with us now live from our Bloomberg 99.1 studios in Washington, D.C. Welcome back, Mike. The wide expectation is that this is going to be the day the Fed starts to ease up on the gas.
You know, it's kind of funny. I was talking about this earlier. It's like we're all going to a show, but members of the cast have been out telling us the plot for quite some time.
Right.
The Fed's decision to go 50 basis points, well telegraphed, and nothing in the CPI report yesterday changed that. I think they also are going to make the case that there are going to be additional rate increases, and they will have new economic forecasts and a new dot plot out. Mm-hmm. So even though we know what the rate move is going to be, there's going to be plenty for the markets to digest after Jay Powell's done.
And I guess there's a little bit of a question, isn't there, going into this meeting about whether the data we've seen on inflation, the ease from the peak back in June, is going to be enough for Chairman Powell to start to at least hint at more long-term easing up later on in 2023, or whether Chairman Powell is going to keep up that hawkish message and sort of fight this market that's looking for that pivot.
I would likely come down on the side of fight the market, because the Fed can always change its mind. But if you let the market start to believe you're going to cut rates sometime in 2023, then there a lot of people are going to figure, well, I'll just price that in now. And then that takes away the monetary policy impact on inflation that they're trying to have. So I think he'll be as ambiguous as possible and say something like, we're going to leave rates for an extended period to try to convince people that there's nothing on the horizon right now in terms of rate cuts. That's something that they'll decide as the year goes along.
So it doesn't sound then like you're expecting that we're going to get much in the way of changes to the language in the final FOMC statement.
I don't think so. There's not a lot of percentage change for gain for them in doing that. They will adjust the economic outlook, economic analysis a little bit to reflect the latest data. It will be interesting to see what they say about inflation after the CPI report. probably something along the lines of inflation improved, but there are still pressures out there, something like that. But the rest of it is probably going to be pretty much word for word what we have seen in the past several statements.
What are you looking for, Mike, in terms of the projections on unemployment, the tightness in the labor market that's been so vexing for this Fed over the last few months?
That'll be an interesting thing to look at in, when we get the summary of economic projections, because, of course, the Fed had been forecasting that we would get to 4.5% or so on unemployment by the time they were finished. Well, they're almost finished probably raising rates, and unemployment really hasn't moved significantly. So do they still expect a big move in unemployment? And if so, then a question would be why?
You know, given that this is the last policy decision of the year, it's kind of interesting to sort of think about what the effect of this really aggressive rate tightening over this last year has done in 2022. I mean, we haven't really experienced this kind of rapid increase in interest rates in decades, Mike.
Yeah, the old saying is that policy works with long and variable lags, and that's true because many of the decisions that you make based on buying costs are borrowing costs, rather, are things that are more expensive and take longer to decide on, say, moving house or buying a car, buying appliances, that sort of thing. So it does take a while for the borrowing costs to reach the end consumer of it, even though they get priced into the markets right away. And so the Fed isn't sure yet how much of an impact it has had. And most of that will probably come first, second quarter of next year. And so we'll see we will see this caution from them about how high they need to go because they don't know yet what they've already done.
Our last 30 seconds here, Mike. What's the main point you're looking to hear from Chairman Powell today?
Well, I think everybody kind of wants to know where we are in a timeline. Do we continue to raise rates at every meeting? Does that slow down? And then I think everybody wants to know whether he is going to support Morocco or France playing in the World Cup at exactly the time the Fed is meeting. So a lot of people are going to be torn between flipping between those two things on television.
Well, we know that there isn't going to be any lag to your productivity today, Bloomberg's Michael. Yeah, you're probably going to be watching. You're going to have like two eyes, one on Powell, one on the game. Thanks, as always, Mike, with us this morning from Washington, ahead of the Fed decision and the J. Powell news conference that Mike will be watching. With the game on his smartphone. Bloomberg Radio and Television has it for you covered, a special edition of Bloomberg Surveillance starting at 1:30 Wall Street time. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak this morning.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures have turned lower as investors debate whether inflation has eased enough to encourage the Fed to slow monetary tightening. We check the markets all day long here on Bloomberg Radio. S&P futures, they're down about 9 points right now, down 0.2%. Dow futures down 0.2%, or 63 points, and NASDAQ futures down 0.3%. Or 36 points. The DAX in Germany is down 0.8%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 3.49%. The yield on the 2-year, 4.18%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1%, or 73 cents, at $76.12 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4%, or $6.90, at $18.18.60 an ounce. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Thank you, Karen. Lawmakers have hammered out a deal and a framework to fund the government this fiscal year, helping to avert a shutdown. The House Select Committee investigating last year's attack on the U.S. Capitol will hold its final session on Monday. And in sports, in the NHL, Alex Ovechkin reaches 800 career goals. The Caps won, the Devils lost, the Bruins beat the Islanders, and in the NBA, the Celtics won and the Warriors lost. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Amy. It's 6:23 on Wall Street. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And we want to bring you more of our coverage of the collapse of FTX and the arrest of its co-founder, Sam Bankman-Fried. Bloomberg Washington correspondent Joe Matthews spoke with Democratic Congressman Brad Sherman about what we learned yesterday when FTX's current CEO testified before the House Financial Services Committee and the kind of punishment Sam Bankman-Fried could face.
What do you think of John Ray?
I think he's doing a good job, but the barn door was open, the horse is left, and we'll see what he can do.
Do you have an allergy to crypto just in general? And there's no wrong answers here. This isn't like a crypto show on Bloomberg or anything, but I can see you're not a fan.
No. I've been trying for 5 years to either ban American investment in crypto or to force the entire crypto ecosystem to follow the know your customer rules. Mm-hmm. They won't do that because the whole purpose of crypto, the business plan, is to be a secret currency, hence the term cryptocurrency. Mm-hmm. And to compete with the U.S. dollar by having one advantage over the U.S. dollar, and that is that it's a currency that can be better used by those who engage in sanctions evasion, tax evasion. Sam Bankman-Fried will tell you about bankruptcy court evasion, drug dealing, etc.
Is this the moment here? Is FTX a crypto story? Is this sort of the hook that leads to the regulation, or is this just an old-fashioned offshore robbery story?
My fear is that it will be regarded as the latter. And the fact is, though, when you're dealing with an enterprise, the whole purpose of which is to come up with a currency system that allows you to evade American financial law, then you're going to be dealing with people who are going to evade American financial law.
Talk to us about the donations, Congressman. Are you concerned that Democrats who took money from Sam Bankman-Fried could bring credibility issues to this story? Or are the two parties prepared to tackle this together?
Well, the fact is Sam Bankman-Fried did an interview last month in which he said he gave as much money to Republicans as Democrats, but the Republican money he gave to dark money organizations. And he explained why, and it made perfect sense. He says the press is liberal, probably is, and they would have beaten him up for giving money to Republicans. So he gives the Republican money under the table, gives the Democratic money over the table. He's an equal opportunity influence purchaser. And then Ryan Salome, the co-CEO of one of the FTX enterprises, did another $22, $23 million exclusively to Republicans. So
what favors did they want?
They had one thing: keep the SEC out of the crypto world. And the point I made to my colleagues today is don't come here and trash Sam Bankman-Fried and then pass his bill. His bill is designed to provide a little patina of regulation to crypto, to give authority to the CFTC, a much weaker regulatory organization, and then make people feel safe.
That was Democratic Congressman Brad Sherman speaking with Bloomberg's Joe Matthew on Sound On. You can catch the show weeknights at 5 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio, or download the Sound On podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Let's look at Bitcoin right now, trading 0.4% higher this morning, right around 17,800. S&P futures are down 6 points, Dow futures down 42, and NASDAQ futures are lower by 27 points. 10-year Treasury yield, 3.49%. We've got your top stories, local headlines, and a full check of markets just ahead. First, let's check in with Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolin for your weather forecast.
High pressure is in control today. We'll see sunshine, but we'll also notice that sun getting a little dimmer this afternoon as some high clouds move in from the west and south. Temperatures today up to 40. It'll become cloudy overnight, 30 to 35. Low pressure is headed towards the region tomorrow. That'll result in rain tomorrow afternoon. Inland, it may start as wet snow, 45. Rainy, breezy Friday, 45 to 50. I'm Rob Carolin with your three-day forecast on Bloomberg 1130.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Coming up to 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers clients earn interest of up to 3.33% on the idle cash in their brokerage accounts. Visit ibkr.com/interest rates to learn more. Up first, the Federal Reserve is set to decide on interest rates for the final time this year. Influential economist and Stanford University professor John Taylor says the central bank cannot afford to pause hikes too quickly.
The Fed got well behind the curve in the 70s, and we don't want to have that situation. The inflation rate increase has been over a shorter period of time, it's maybe 18 months. So we can do this if the Fed is determined, if the people are supportive of the Fed, if they realize this is the best way to get the inflation down. It's not by waiting and dilly-dallying, it's really by taking the action right now.
Stanford's John Taylor spoke with Bloomberg's Kathleen Hayes. Stay tuned for coverage of today's Fed decision at 1:30 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Well, the Fed decision comes, Karen, after stocks got a boost from yesterday's CPI reading. The key gauge of consumer prices posted its smallest monthly advance in more than a year. But Catherine Kaminsky, chief research strategist with Alpha Simplex, says traders should expect more bumps ahead.
People are really anticipating that this will disappear a lot quicker than, say, the Fed is really willing to act. They still have to figure out how to deal with such a big difference between their desired inflation number and where we already are.
Catherine Kaminsky with Alpha Simplex says she is closely watching the next steps Jay Powell outlines in today's news conference.
Well, now, Nathan, we move to the latest on disgraced FTX co-founder Sam Bankman-Fried. We're learning he plans to fight extradition to the U.S. On Bloomberg, Steve Rappaport joins us live with more. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. U.S. authorities can lobby the Bahamian government all they want to hand Bankman-Fried over, but a group of advisors in London has the final say. That's because the island is a British Commonwealth, potentially tying up the case for years if Bankman-Fried takes his fight all the way to the Privy Council. Meantime, a Bahamian judge denied Bankman-Fried's request for bail, deeming him a flight risk. An extradition hearing is scheduled for February 8th. Live in New York, I'm Steve Rappaport, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Steve, thank you. We have a political note this morning as well. The Biden administration's ramping up tensions with China as it plans to put China's leading maker of memory chips and more than 30 other companies on the U.S. trade blacklist. That would prevent them from buying certain American technology.
And that's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Again, futures are moving lower this morning. S&P futures now down 5 points, or about a tenth of a percent. Dow futures down almost a tenth of a percent, or 29 points. And NASDAQ futures down 0.2%, or 21 points. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 3.49%, and the yield on the 2-year, 4.18%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:31 on Wall Street. Amy Morris is here now with a look at what's going on in New York and around the world. Amy, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. A New York Police Department evidence center in a warehouse in Brooklyn has partially collapsed after a 3-alarm fire broke out yesterday. Fire Chief John Hodgins says everything inside the facility is either lost or damaged.
This building is not really a very sturdy type of building. It's a metal building with truss construction, which has a large collapse potential, which is why we backed our members out of the building.
Fire is expected to keep burning for days. Lawmakers have hammered out a deal on a framework to fund the government for the fiscal year. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell says they have to be done with this by December 22nd.
We intend not to be back here between Christmas and New Year's. And if we can't meet that deadline, we'd be happy to pass a short-term CR into early next year.
McConnell says a short-term bill is the most likely solution and that lawmakers will likely take up an omnibus bill in the new year. Republicans seem to be leaning toward Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. A new Wall Street Journal poll shows DeSantis now holding an early lead over Donald Trump among GOP primary voters, 52-38% in a hypothetical contest. Advocates are calling on a federal judge to immediately pause New York City's initiative to involuntarily hospitalize those suffering from mental health episodes. Miranda Van Dalen with New York Lawyers for Public Interest says the mayor's plan is unconstitutional and violates the Americans with Disabilities Act.
People are now scared to leave their homes because they think that they may get picked up by the police for psychiatric evaluation.
New York Mayor Adams says this is not a police-led initiative. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg. Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Amy. 6:33 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Here's John Stashar.
Okay, Nathan, it's great to be a free agent shortstop. Three of them just signed contracts worth a total of $930 million. Trey Turner to the Phillies, Andrew Bogaerts to San Diego. Now Carlos Correa headed to the San Francisco Giants. 13 years, $350 million. The Giants using money they had originally hoped to use on Aaron Judge. On the ice, Devils are cooling off. Lost at home to Dallas 4-1, their third straight loss. Islanders in Boston, where the Bruins have only lost once all season. The Bruins won 4-3 in a shootout. A hat trick for Alex Ovechkin in Washington's win. The last of the three was career goal number 800. Knicks go for a fifth straight win tonight. They're in Chicago. Morocco has made it to the World Cup semifinals by allowing only one goal in five games. That was an own goal. They've already upset Spain and Portugal, and today Morocco takes on defending champion France, and the winner faces Argentina in Sunday's World Cup final. Sunday night, huge game for the Giants in Washington. They had that tie with the Commanders, so the two teams are tied in the standings. Brian Daboll's team winless in the last four games.
It's a long season. There's quite a bit of adversity throughout it. Maybe it's, you know, for some teams it's in the beginning, for some teams it's in the middle, for other teams that's the end. You know, we're going through a little bit of it right now, and I think it's important to stay consistent, do the things that you need to do to try to win games.
Washington only one loss in its last eight games. The Jets Sunday host Detroit, and the Lions have won five of the last six. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. And Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com. For more information, S&P futures now down 7 points, Dow futures down 46, and NASDAQ futures are lower by 29 points. 6:35 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potisk. On WFLA Tampa Bay, we're talking about a possible $2 billion sale of a St. Petersburg software company.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. The cost of dessert keeps on surging ahead of the holidays.
I'm Kimberly Adams, and on KYW in Philadelphia, I'll be reporting on one of the world's largest banking organizations sending out recruitment emails to rival bankers facing cuts.
I'm Stephen Carroll on Bloomberg DAB Radio in London. We've been reporting on UK consumer price inflation slowing more than had been expected in November, but staying close to a 41-year high.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting GM wants to make sure it has the minerals it needs to be a major player in electric vehicles.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 6:36 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. Is the age of nuclear fusion finally dawning? After decades of research, scientists have been making serious progress. This week came news of the latest milestone. Scientists in California recently induced a fusion reaction that produced a net energy gain. In other words, it generated more power than it consumed. Net gain has been the elusive lodestar of fusion research since the 1950s. Realizing it should give a major boost to global research efforts and offer a tantalizing glimpse of fusion's real-world possibilities. As the science advances, global cooperation will be essential. And above all, governments must avoid the sort of red tape that has needlessly held up traditional fission projects. Unlocking the power of the stars will be no easy feat. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. As we look ahead to the market open and the final Federal Reserve decision of 2022, futures are taking a leg lower. We have S&P futures right now down 8 points. Dow futures are down 55, and NASDAQ futures are lower now by 33 points. 10-year Treasury is little changed now. The yield just shy of 3.5%. Yield on the 2-year, 4.18. NYMEX crude's moving higher. That's up 1% or 76 cents at $76.13 a barrel for West Texas Intermediate. COMEX gold down 0.4% at $18.18.50 an ounce. Straight ahead on Daybreak, we head to the nation's capital, the FTX fallout, new tensions with China, and are Republicans fading former President Trump? This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are lower this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call, and here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. Modest losses in the U.S. futures right now, with Dow futures down 46 points. S&P's dropped 7, and NASDAQ futures are lower by 29. The U.S. 10-year yield at 3.5%. Gold is down 6. Oil is trading in the green, and Bitcoin is little changed. Japan rose 0.7% overnight, while European markets are in the red this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, the import price index. And at 2 o'clock, the FOMC rate decision. In other news, the IEA said that oil prices may rally next year as sanctions squeeze Russian supplies. And wrapping things up, Hilton was cut to neutral over at Citigroup. Martin Marietta was cut to equate at Morgan Stanley. And Liberty Global was cut to neutral over at Goldman Sachs. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney, Karen.
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
All right, thank you, Karen. The White House asking Congress for resources to help mitigate an influx of migrants crossing the U.S.-Mexico border. Democrats want to work with Republicans on bipartisan immigration reform as the Title 42 policy is set to end in 1 week. A new report from the CDC says long COVID played a part in more than 3,500 deaths in the U.S. Most who died from long COVID were older white men. In sports in the NHL, Alex Ovechkin reaches 800 career goals as the Caps won. The Devils lost. The Bruins beat the Islanders. In the NBA, the Celtics won and the Warriors lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Karen.
All right, Amy, thank you. It is 6:42 on Wall Street, and we turn to news and science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT offers New Jersey's first undergraduate degree in fintech, tech-driven, finance-focused. What will you make at NJIT? Learn more at njit.edu/fintech. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. What's a dust devil sound like on Mars? Well, a NASA rover by chance had its microphone on when a whirling tower of red dust passed directly overhead, recording the racket. Scientists yesterday released the first of its kind audio. It's about 10 seconds of not only rumbling gusts of up to 25 miles per hour, but the pinging of hundreds of dust particles against the rover Perseverance. Bloomberg News has learned that Apple is preparing to allow alternative app stores on its iPhones and iPads in the coming months. The historic pivot is a response to EU laws set to take effect in 2024, aimed at leveling the playing field for third-party developers. Regulators have accused Apple and Google of wielding too much power as gatekeepers of the biggest mobile app stores. And Elon Musk is no longer the richest person in the world. He's been displaced by Bernard Arnault, who owns almost 50% of French luxury giant LVMH. According to the Bloomberg Billionaires Index, Musk has seen his fortune tumble by more than $100 billion since January. The Tesla, Twitter, and SpaceX boss is now worth just under $164 billion. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Nathan.
Now, that's a lot of money to dry your tears on. Thank you, Karen.
Indeed.
We're coming up to 6:44 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include a second round of hearings coming up today on the collapse of FTX and co-founder Sam Bankman-Fried. The U.S. adding more than 30 Chinese companies to its trade blacklist. President Biden welcoming African leaders in a bid to undo an image of U.S. neglect of the continent. And a polling shift for Republicans ahead of the 2024 presidential race. Let's bring in Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins to take a look at some of these stories. Emily, I'm sure you were following the FTX hearing at the House Financial Services Committee very closely yesterday. What were your takeaways from that?
It was definitely an interesting hearing. I mean, certainly the I think one of the more notable things was that the night before Sam Bankman-Fried was supposed to appear, he was arrested. Chair of the committee, Maxine Waters, was not particularly thrilled about that. She said that Americans do need to hear from SBF on exactly what happened. But they did wind up speaking with John Ray, who is handling the company's restructuring. And the big thing that I think he said there, I don't think it comes as a surprise, was the first time you've really heard it, is that folks who used FTX will likely not be able to get their money back. And he expects international consumers to fare far worse than ones in the U.S. Certainly a lot of what was happening yesterday, I think a lot of what the committee is trying to get at here is just sort of understanding what went wrong. Because now the big question in Washington is, how does Washington need to regulate this space? How can they regulate this space? There's certainly a bipartisan interest in it. We've seen bipartisan legislation already come out looking at digital assets. And I asked Kevin McCarthy, who's going to be the likely speaker of the House next year, about it yesterday. And he said, yes, there definitely is a spot for regulation. And certainly there's a sense that they do need to move on this particular issue. And so I think that's sort of what all of these hearings are just laying the groundwork for, is for eventual action on some sort of legislation, probably, of course, not this year, but in the next year.
And of course, we're going to see more of those hearings coming up later today at the Senate Banking Committee. So we'll see if there's any further development there. In the meantime, Emily, we've got yet more evidence that trade tensions between the U.S. and China aren't going away anytime soon.
No, Bloomberg is reporting that the Biden administration is going to add another 30 Chinese companies to a blacklist trade, preventing them from buying certain American components. These are companies that the U.S. says that they cannot prove that aren't supporting the Chinese military. So that is part of the concern there. And this includes the makers of memory chips, including Yangtze Memory Strategies. They're a major, major chip maker. And this could potentially have serious impacts on their business. Putting companies on this list really decimated Huawei Technologies' consumer smartphone business and has harmed others as well. And this comes after Biden unveiled a really sweeping set of restrictions on China's ability to buy semiconductors and chip-making equipment in October. So it seems like the U.S. and China, we've had Biden and Xi talk a little more, a bit more face-to-face, have that one meeting, but it still seems like on the issues of chips, on the issues of semiconductors, the two of them still, you know, they're not seeing eye to eye, and the U.S., I think, is really trying to move to make sure that their own industries are protected, as well as some national security concerns.
Yeah, it's interesting to see this latest evidence of a U.S.-Chinese trade tensions unfolding as President Biden gets ready to host a summit with Africa leaders. As you know, Emily, China has been investing very heavily in the African continent for years.
Yeah, and what the U.S. is trying to do now a little bit is to catch up with that, to invite these delegations from nearly 50 African countries, as well as the African Union, and say, hey, you know, we want to still be an ally. We still want to make sure the U.S. is helping. This summit that we're seeing today is the first of its kind in 8 years. And Biden's going to make several announcements, announcing a bid for the African Union to join the Group of 20 Forum as a permanent member, and for the continent to hold a permanent member seat on the U.S. Security Council. The U.S. is also set to announce about $55 billion investment in infrastructure. But Nathan, again, that just pales in comparison to the $700 billion in infrastructure loans that China has already made. And so there's, I think, a lot of sense that the U.S. does need to be active in Africa. It's sort of another area where the U.S. has sort of stepped back while China has gone, invested, built up its ability to help in the continent. And I think now you're seeing the Biden administration. They tried to focus so much on China and Beijing, and certainly they see Africa as a larger part of that calculation.
Yeah, so we'll be watching for developments from that summit with African leaders that President Biden will be hosting later on this afternoon over at the White House. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, thank you as always for keeping us on top of what's happening in D.C. Read more at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. S&P futures right now down 5 points. Dow futures down 34. NASDAQ futures are lower by 21 points. Looking at the bond space, 10-year treasuries, little changed right now. Yield just shy of 3.5%. Yield on the 2-year, 4.18%. NYMEX crude's moving higher right now, 1.2% or 89 cents at $76.28 a barrel. Ahead of a Fed decision coming up at 2 p.m. Wall Street time. Of course, we will have full coverage for you throughout the day. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're watching shares of Delta this morning up 3.5% in early trading after it updated its guidance. And Bloomberg's Kriti Gupta will have details in just a moment. Futures are little changed this morning. All S&P, NASDAQ, and Dow futures are all little changed. Check the markets all day long here on Bloomberg. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 3.49%. The yield on the 2-year, 4.18%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.1%, up 78 cents at $76.17 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.5% or $8.90 at $18.1670 an ounce. The euro 1.0647 against the dollar. British pound 1.2374. The yen 134.99. And Bitcoin up 0.33% at $17,800. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thanks. 6:56 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Bloomberg Radio TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta right now to take a look at Delta Airlines and some of the other names moving in the pre-market. Let's talk about those earnings, Kriti.
Let's talk about those earnings. You know, we're coming into this morning with this background of weakening demand. The idea here being that a lot of these companies, JetBlue, for example, yesterday warning that there is going to be a slowdown in travel that is coming. You're going to start to see all these recessionary calls kind of catch up with the airline industry. On the other hand, yesterday you heard that United was putting in a big order with Boeing, essentially indicating their long-haul investment. Well, Delta coming out and saying, well, you know what? We're going to take a little bit out of both other airlines' playbook. We're going to say that there's going to be some weakening demand, but they are still raising their profit outlook. And that's really what's moving the shares this morning. DAL is your ticker for Delta. Shares are up about 3.8% in the pre-market. Now, this is important. They did boost their fourth quarter earnings, but their revenue forecast was trimmed a little bit. So this is important when it comes to the short-term kind of travel window looks to be pretty bullish, but it's still starting to say in the long term, maybe things could kind of waver. So some interesting numbers coming out of Delta. I want to talk about some of the big analyst moves as well, though, Nathan, okay, because Tesla is coming out. TSLA is your ticker. And of course, we know this is a stock that's been under a lot of pressure. Yesterday, it was responsible for almost 15% of the market decline. This morning, under pressure once again, about 0.9%. This time, thanks to Goldman Sachs slashing its price target on the EV maker by almost a quarter, the broker lowering their estimates to reflect, quote, softer supply and demand. And this is crucial when we talk about the affordability question of Tesla, but also are people buying cars in general? And of course, Tesla is going to be extra exposed to that given the type of car that they offer in the EV infrastructure. Let's talk about Marriott as well. MAR is your ticker, down 1.3%. Citi coming in, cutting its recommendation on the stock to neutral from buy and downgrading a few other names in the REITs and lodgings sector. So not thrilled, again, about the travel sector. A similar theme that we're hearing out of Delta and, again, JetBlue from yesterday. Nathan, I want to leave you with one more.
Right.
Lenor. L-E-N. Now, we love to look at this company for kind of its correlation with the home building sector. If you are really bullish on the American housing market, you are going to be bullish on the stock by extension. L-E-N up 1.3%. This time, it's actually up because Barclays is upgrading not just Lenor, but Pulte Group as well. PHM is the ticker there. And those shares are also higher by about 1.5%. But Barclays upgraded both stocks overnight, turning positive on the home builder subsector broadly. So you can really see it. It's a little bit of a turnaround. A lot of that pullback post-2020, it looks like Barclays saying they're in favor again.
Yeah, lots going on in the analyst recommendation area, while the broader market looks like it's waiting to see what the Fed does later on today. Thanks, as always, Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. S&P futures, little changed right now. Dow futures up 5 points. NASDAQ futures down 4 points. Ahead of that Fed decision, 2 p.m. Wall Street time. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm Nathan Hager along with Karen Moscow. 6:59 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Surveillance starts right now.
Live from the financial capital of the world, broadcasting across the globe, this is WBBR New York, Bloomberg 1130.
We're looking at 2023 as a big transition year.
I think 2023 is opening the